When we talked to Dr. Jane Phillips from the UTS Department of Health last week, she gave us a broad definition of palliative care. It's not just about teams of experts and specialist facilities. It's not something to worry about later. And it's not just about one segment of society. It concerns all of us, patients and loved ones.
Palliative care is really the total care, the physical, psychological, social and spiritual care of patients and their families as they near the end of life. And whereas once palliative care might have been considered to be appropriate for people who are in the final weeks and days of life, what we really want to do is work in partnership with their other clinicians much, much earlier.
One of the important distinctions Dr. Phillips makes there is that palliative care isn't just about managing physical pain. It's a holistic endeavour. Psychological, social and spiritual care are all integral. This is where we get to an interesting foible in the way we discuss palliative care, because most of us say we'd rather not go into those special facilities. Most say they would rather die at home. So if we want to address the psychological, social and spiritual needs of patients, we need to know what is meant by the word home. Here's Dr. Eileen Collier from Flinders University, who has some interesting research on the idea of home.
There's a real agenda and discourse around home as the dwelling place to be the preferred option in terms of where one dies. It's commonly flagged that most people want to die at home, but in Australia, most of us will die in an institution. Home, as in the dwelling place, of course, is not safe for everyone. I guess if you think of current discussions around things like domestic violence, for some people, there is no place. For people who are homeless, there is no home. I think the first thing is to get beyond the oversimplification that the dwelling place is for everyone.
The idea of home, then, is not simple. Home isn't always a safe space. It isn't always a defined space. In her research, Dr. Collier conducted what is called a video ethnographic study. Basically, it's a kind of observational study where she used a video camera and talked to patients to try and understand what home meant to them.
I gave the opportunity for patients and families to take the camera, handing it over to them and saying, if you were to make visible what is most important to you, what would you tell us? What would you show us? What would you want us to know? Now, for some, that did indeed mean taking the camera, but for others, it meant them directing what they wanted to be filmed. And for some people, it meant no filming at all.
What Dr. Collier found is that home isn't just a physical space where you store your stuff and sit on your couch. It's something that means many things to many people. For some, it's just about feeling safe and secure. And that feeling of safety and security may be replicable inside a hospital or hospice.
This was driven by participants in the study talking about home as not necessarily a physical dwelling place. So wherever they were, whether they were in hospital or the day hospital, I realised that people were speaking about home not simply as this place or street address. The tenet of my study was really around safety. What is a safe space towards the end of life?
When you think of home in that instance, for the rest of us to relate to, it's kind of like how, well, I live here in Sydney, but my grandparents live in another country. And when I go visit them, I still feel at home when I'm in my grandparents' home. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
That's exactly right. So, for example, one lady in the study was very much talking about, I want to go home to Camden. But she didn't mean go home to her physical address. She meant the place of Camden and the hospice there, where she could see her friends and her dog could come in to the hospice, vice versa. There were people in hospital who would say, I'm not sure. I want to be discharged. I feel very safe here. I feel at home with the nurses. So you see how this language of home can be a bit more complex than simply.
Dr. Collier found many things could help create that feeling of safety and security, that feeling of home. It could be physical things, relationships, and even practices.
Things like having familiar artifacts around them, photographs. For one man, it was a flag. Being able to have their family and connect with their family.
But it also sounds like a lot of this has to do with autonomy, you know, like we're kings of our castle in our own house and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's an expression of that one's identity, one's cultural identity, symbolic connections, being able to connect with what's important to oneself in a way that you would want, a lot of which is taken away in hospital.
At the moment, Dr. Collier isn't able to tell us how allowing some of these things could impact patient health. But she is able to tell us that they made patients feel more secure, more safe, whichever bed they happen to be in. So as we continue the debate over home care and hospices going forward, just remember that home isn't as simple as a street address.
So I think we need to continue to work on, well, how can we improve palliative and end-of-life care in a hospital setting? We know whether it's Adelaide, Sydney, Dundee, Scotland, the issues confronting us in hospital are very similar. And so we need a range of different research approaches to improve the care for people when they're in hospital.